God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ernest Maddox of the Point of Light Christian Center and Dr. E. Maddox Ministries. We welcome you from around the world to this broadcast relative and pertinent to the Word of God. We encourage you to call a friend and have them to call in at 646-716-8530 so they can listen on their phones, or go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Maddox. That's DRMADDOX. We are here every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We want to encourage you to go to the bookstore, the ministry bookstore, www.DREMADDOX.org. We have a blessing there for you. All kinds of training materials, videos, MP3s that you can benefit from relative to the Word of God. There are three books that we have now: Impact of a Deliverance Prayer, Apostolic Manifesto, and Weapons of Our Warfare. Now, for a period of time, if you purchase Apostolic Manifesto and Weapons of Our Warfare, the book Impact of a Deliverance Prayer will be given free of charge. So I would encourage you to go to the website right now. You can reach us at Dr. E. Maddox Ministry via phone at 248-796-8523, the Point of Light Christian Center, 248-423-9289. We just want to take a moment to ask God to bless us as we move into the Word of God. I know that you will be blessed. So our great Father in heaven, we thank you now for the word that you are about to deliver over these airwaves. All of you be blessed, be delivered, and be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Now we will bring that word of God to you. Amen.
Satan,
he's like a jealous person.
Yes.
Like a jealous girlfriend or boyfriend. If he can't have you, no one can. Amen? And he will always present worse scenarios to get you to believe that where you were was a safe place, and that any movement whatsoever is not the will of God. And so I've heard most of the week, you know, why are you going back out there? You've said all you could say to those people. And those people have a great teaching apparatus, if I could say that, with Pastor O and all the staff. But you know what? If for no other reason, I need to come to be able to exchange fellowship in the Spirit. According to Hebrews 10, it says we should not forsake fellowshipping together. So if all we do is sing hymns all night, I like to say hers. You know, his and mine. Just so we can be gender respectful. Amen. But God always gives me something. Amen. So I just want to say thanks to Pastor O, praying that he is having a great time. I know you all have been blessed. I know you've been challenged. But you've also been blessed. And I just want to say greetings from those who I serve at the Point of Light Christian Center and Dr. E. Maddox's ministry. Because the ministry is a lot bigger than I can serve one-on-one. We have a worldwide internet ministry. And there are people who listen on Wednesday from all over the world. They go online from all over the world and pick up the messages when they are time efficient for them to do so. So 80% of the people that I serve, I'll probably never meet or never see. Amen? And that's what the gospel really is about. It's not about what you can see and touch. It's valuable. But Paul made the comment, some water, some plant, but God gives the increase, and you may not be around for the increase. Maybe it was just your job to prune the bushes. Drop the seed. Till the ground. Pour the water. Amen. Again, for those who probably don't know me, I'm Dr. Ernest Maddox. You can tell there's something kind of happening with my voice. But that's fine. Amen. The voice does not enhance or dehance the word of God. I know a lot of good preachers who preach heresy with deep, strong voices. And you will be able to hear them clearly when they go to hell. Amen? You'll hear that bass resonate. Oh, ow! Amen? Now, I want to talk about something. David had so much faith that he figured he was going to have to handle the other four brothers too. But he only needed a stone for each one. Isn't that interesting? So when the Nephilim, made up a word there, Nephilim, Goliath, tribe, present themselves in your life, and you feel like the little shepherd boy who wasn't even part of the process, they recognize that God is in charge. Even when things don't seem to go right. Turn to Ephesians 3:20. And I'm going to talk about money. Now, I was listening to some preachers recently, and they were having a praise-a-thon, or I call it a raise-a-thon. Amen. And, you know, I was a little irritated by what was going on. And not from the perspective because the kingdom of God on earth needs money. Not the one at the throne of God, but this one needs money. Amen. Without money, you would not be in this building. You don't pay your mortgage with prayers or faith directly. That faith and prayers are turned into revenue, and you're able to negotiate that with those who respect that more than they do prayer and faith. Amen? So while they were talking, and I don't know if this gentleman heard me thinking or not, I was standing there saying, you know what? You know, you keep saying give this, give that, and expect this and expect that, and give this so you can get that, and put that in so you can get this out. And I'm standing there going, you know, that's, I don't like that. That's bothering me. I don't have a problem with giving, but don't give me the impression that if I give something, everything is going to be all right. Because I was in a church where I paid three tithes every third year. and I didn't get rich. So things will be okay, but quit saying there'll be $1 million in my account tomorrow. And I shouldn't be expecting that. This is what I'm thinking. And the guy stopped preaching and looked dead at the camera and said this, "I am sick of you." And pointed his finger. I went, he says, "I'm sick of you individuals." He said, "The Holy Spirit just hit me. You in particular." Now I'm going, I know he don't know me. He don't know where I am. I'm in another state, another city. He don't know I'm on Comcast. He don't know where I am. So he's not talking about me. And then he made this comment. "For those of you who believe giving to God means you shouldn't expect something back, you are out of your mind." And I'm looking at him, I said, "I'm not out of my mind. I'm Apostle Madoff. I battle demons, fallen angels, chase rabbits into the hole." And then he made this comment. He said, "When God planted Jesus Christ on the earth, he expected a return. When God gave the talents to these three individuals, he expected a return. When God gives you instructions, he expects obedience as a return." And I said, you know what? Nobody had quite explained it. All I would see is, but nobody ever took God's perspective that you have to sow with an expectation, not a demand or not an order. There's a difference. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it altered me somewhat. I already understand sowing and reaping. And I understood expectation to a degree. But the way I heard it, the way it hit my mind, was a bargain with God. That if you do this, you force him into something. No, you don't. When you do it, he becomes committed. Not out of force, but because that's his automatic desire. Ephesians 3:20 says something like this, and I'm going to paraphrase. God is able to give you above anything that you can think or conceive. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're there. And it's based on who? What's the last part of that say? The power that works, and it gives a name, doesn't it? By Christ Jesus, to what? All generations. Now, what have you believed for? What have you desired from God? And I've been praying for the last probably 24 months for something very specific. And I know God is going to do it. I know he is. I know it. But I accept the fact that he might do it for my children and my grandchildren and not directly for me. But he will do it. He told David, "I won't let you build a temple, but I'll let Solomon do it." He told Abraham, "I'll make you a mighty nation as the sand of the sea." Abraham didn't get to see all of that. But the one who made the promise did. Are you hearing me? Because we've entered a period in the history of mankind where Satan's biggest weapon now is going to get you and I to doubt, to become weary in well-doing, to lose focus and commitment, because we've invested so much time and we see individuals who are not living according to a biblical standard, seem to be excelling and exceeding our promise. I was watching the news last night. They had this pastor who was taking people's money, said he would keep their lights on, switching the electric out of their name, putting it in a dummy company name, and people were losing the electricity. And this is a guy with a church, a pastor, no remorse. And I said to myself, and this church will be full Sunday, and he'll talk about how the media is trying to prevent the word of God. And people will believe it, because they just can't believe that somebody who claimed to be a pastor would do that. Amen? And then you look at that, and I look at that, and go, these are the times that we need to stay. And I want to talk about tithes and offerings. And if you're looking for a tithe, the wrong time to stop tithing. The wrong time to stop tithing. No, Pastor didn't call me up. He didn't promise me anything. I frankly don't know what he's taught on, except that I know he believes in it in time. But we have entered a period of time where I call the freeze zone. The freeze zone. And it's going to happen, listen to me, universally, globally, corporately, and individually. The freeze zone. And what do I mean by that? That whatever you're thinking and whatever your policy is before Jesus Christ, there's going to be a universal, a global, corporate organization, and a personal freeze zone where your decisions are going to get you stuck in a modus operandi, where that process, those decisions, will become the schematic for all your behavior. Revelations, the 22nd chapter. I shared this with my congregation, and some of the people, some of them started crying. Revelations 22. Well, I don't know what's happening. My Wi-Fi just quit. Praise the Lord.
What verse?
Praise the Lord.
What
well,
verse?
Let's, Revelations 21, and let's go to around verse 12. I'm sorry, 22. And Lord, I'm going to rebuke this thing now. It refuses to go to chapter 20. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Now it's time to toss technology over in the corner. It talks about the river of life. There's one particular pericope of text that I want to focus on here. The text says, let him who is wicked steal. You see that? You see that? Be wicked still and what? Let, right. It gives two cutoff points, doesn't it? Don't you find that interesting? That God is saying that there's a point where wherever you are, you will be caught in that place. You will be caught in that place, and you will have to walk that place out. And I'm going to give you a quick example. The 10 virgins. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. The 5 foolish had to walk out their foolishness. They couldn't get in. They couldn't go buy additional oil. And when they came back, what? The door was closed. And what do you think happened to them? It's called the Great Tribulation. Some Christians who are not alert and thinking they can step in and out. In and out. Up and back. And one of these times, you're going to get it. And you're going to say, brother, help me. They can say, look, I only have enough help for me. I would love to help you, but I don't love you enough to go through the great tribulation with you when you had the same option as I. You heard the same messages I did. We were in the same group of Christians. Now, I can't make that judgment, or you can, but who can? Is it Christ the one that told individuals they were not dressed properly for the wedding and put them out? Isn't it Christ that told them the door is shut and I'm not reopening to the five foolish virgins? They were still virgins. Now I'm going to share this with you. You are a virgin, and now you have to face a group of rapists and murderers because you chose not to live up to your virgin status. You went to the strip club, but you let nobody touch you. You slid down the pole, but you didn't give nobody a lap dance. Okay. You went to Hooters to eat chicken wings. Now, I want to bring this down real life, real time. Because you're going, well, that was the five virgins, and you can't hardly find a virgin today. Well, don't go to a man with a teenage daughter and tell him that. He's going to have a problem with you. The point is, wherever you're hedging, wherever you're fringing, universally, globally, corporate or organizationally or personally, Revelations 22 is going to happen. And your door may close before mine. I don't plan on mine closing. But it's not measured. You may say, okay, what does that have to do with time? Well, I don't know what the five foolish virgins did. I don't think anybody really knows, right? But we do know this, don't we? They didn't have enough oil. Do we know that?
Yes.
And what does oil represent?
Light.
A Holy Spirit. Light. Being able to see. Now, you got to fumble around in the dark to find somewhere that sells oil. Then you got to fumble around in the dark to find Jesus Christ and get disappointed by both situations. Oh, you better get this. Because if you end up in the dark and you didn't do what you needed to do when you could see, then what do you think you're going to be able to see when you can? I do stuff like, I watch kids. And I've seen kids, my grandchildren sometimes would close their eyes thinking I can't see them. Because you can't see you. You close your eyes, mine are not. And a lot of us deal with God that way. Well, God, I'm like, for whatever period of time, God don't see me. God and Satan sees you. Let's go to Malachi. You're all familiar with this text, this famous text. Some of you can even say it, Malachi 3. Famous text. Now, when I do this, every now and then somebody will say, well, tithing is not in the New Testament. Yes, it is. Christ was criticizing the Pharisees, and he says, you tithe on myrrh and Aaron, which you should have done, but you left some things undone. In other words, you still should be tithing, but that ain't enough. So I don't want to give you the impression that tithing is enough. Tithing is just part of it. But tithing is the part. Doesn't the word say wherever the heart is, there's your treasure? And usually we follow our money. It's a psychological, spiritual, and a natural law. I check my bank account 2 or 3 times a day. I'm not making that kind of money where it's going to change from hour to hour. And I just like to know. Amen? God checks too. He just likes to know. See, because all of this is spiritually related. It's a physical act with a spiritual outcome. Let me say that again. It's a where they actually everything is. Everything is a physical act is going to net some kind of physical or spiritual depending on
when iniquity was found in Satan. That's a concept, correct?
And look at what his concept has done in the natural for the last 6,000 years. Look around. The hell that you're catching in your family this morning, on your way here, some of them, you, even after you got here, is based on the concept of iniquity that led to some natural catastrophes that's still impacting you and I. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to reverse that. Now, Malachi, how many of you know? And don't raise your hands. I just want you to think about it. How many of you know? When it talks in Malachi the 3rd chapter, beginning in verse 1, and I'm telling you there's that whole category of text, amen, is, I advise that when you go home, read the whole chapter. I won't take time tonight to do that. In verse 8, now let's do verse 7. Now let's do verse 6. I better stop because I'm going to be all the way back up to verse 1. Amen? Amen. For I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O you sons of Jacob, spiritual and natural. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. And for those of you who say that tithing is an Old Testament concept, I say no. Tithing is a God concept. Abraham did it before the 12 tribes of Israel and Levi existed. And he gave it to the spiritual leader, Melchizedek, who all theologians will admit was Jesus Christ, manifested in the physical as the priest of Salem, the prince of peace who lives forever and ever. That's why in Hebrews it says Christ is not a Levitical priesthood, but after the order of Melchizedek, that priestly order. It says here, yet from the days of your father, you have not kept my ordinances. Return to me, and I will return to you. Is that what the five verses are trying to do? Yeah.
Then why didn't God honor that then when they tried to return? Listen, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? God is only saying this to you who can still hear. Those of you who can't won't hear this. You won't hear it. And my prayer is that you will hear God, not me.
I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor.
The question was, how do we return to God? And look what God says. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? We always got these questions. I don't understand. I don't explain that to me. I don't see that we're in church and we both love Jesus and we're single and it's cheaper for us to live together. And for the next year, we can save money and then get married because we love each other. God doesn't really see that as fornication. Because when Christians do it, it's notification. We just notifying God that we gonna do the right thing. We are going to do the right thing. So it's not fornication. Is a notification. Amen? We're notifying God that we intend to get married once we have enough money. And I say to you, as simple and basic as that strategy sounds, is implored, implemented, and strategize in so many ways in our lives. God wouldn't give us a brain if he didn't want us to think. Well, God gave you a behind, does he want you to stand? And some of y'all got a problem with that. He wants you to think on him. And he wants you to use proper hygiene. A gluteus is nothing but an apparatus to manage. And when you don't manage it properly, other people will know. Yeah, they will. And you wonder about, yeah, they will. Will a man rob God? Yet, you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have you robbed you? In tithe and in offering. Now they said, how do we get back to you? God said, stop robbing me. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now, I've heard all the concerns. What if you don't have enough to pay the rent? What if you don't have enough to buy food? If God wants you to tithe and then be hungry, I don't think so. But what if you have that dilemma? What do? You talk to your pastor and you say, here's the dilemma. And your pastor, I know this pastor will help you look at your situation and see what it is that is causing your finances to be challenged. Now, if you're just not earning enough, then God understands that. But you need to get guidance. Don't make your own decision in that area. Okay, I just thought I'd deal with that piece of it. And the Lord is telling you, I believe this is still verse 10. This is critical. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, the church. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Now, when God says, try him, there's a curse aspect and a blessing aspect. And you're going to try him on one or the other. You're going to try him and see if he curses you, or you're going to try him and see if he blesses you. Now, I'm going to give you a real-life situation of an individual I know very well. Has been a Christian for about 30 years, who's never tithed. He recently got married. In fact, Pastor O knows who he is, because Pastor O is the one that confronted him and told him he needs to stop living in sin and get married. But it won't matter unless he's trying to live right. So the individual got married. And you know, every year we do tithe records, right? People do their income tax. And I happen to notice his records. I do look. Yes, I do. Because I want to know if there's an Achan in the camp. I want to know if somebody's brought a curse upon the house. Pretending. And I'm going to show you a text that gives me the right to do that. Pretending like they're doing something that they're not. The first one to holler, amen. When I talk about tithing, amen! I'm not joking. You know what? It's a blessing when the people of God give. Jesus, well! And everybody like, you know that if you perpetrate before God, there's a curse. You better know it! Not knowing that I have looked at the time record. Now if I've looked, who else has looked? God looked before I did. Now, and I was preaching one Sunday, and I said, I need to warn someone that you're testing God, and it's not going to work well. A week later, the new house that they were going to get fell through. A week after that, the house they were in, the evicting people showed up and evicted them. Put them right there on the streets. So you know what I asked the person? And this is a strange thing to ask someone. I say, did you take your tithe money and buy drugs and alcohol? Well, yeah, I did. I said, what did you think was going to happen? Well, I thought I was going to be covered because I'm up under this ministry. I said, no, you're not sending me on no guilt trip. This ministry is a covering for obedient folks. If I stop being obedient as the pastor, then I'm no longer covered. Other people will be, but I won't. I said, you lost the house, and you are sending your wife to a nervous breakdown. We need to recognize there's a point, a cutoff point, and God will make a decision about each and every one of us. And we can hide from man, but we can't hide from the supernatural. What do you think Satan is accusing you of when he's up there accusing you? Yeah, he's a liar, but a liar will tell the truth to get a lying agenda done. So what is God going to say when he says this person is not paying his tithes, he's buying drugs, he's serving Satan with your tithe money? And what God gonna say? You lying, Satan? Cause you a liar? No. He knows Satan has a lying agenda, and his agenda is to kill, steal, and destroy. But when we serve Satan, when he did that with his tithe and offerings, he made a sacrifice to Satan. And that became his God. And his God wanted to do some things to him. And the legitimate God stepped back. Oh, God wouldn't do that. God, how many times did he do it to Israel? Just step back. Oh, you don't want to obey me? Fine. David killed a man, took his wife. He prayed for that little child with Adam. Child with Adam. Did God kill the child? No. The circumstances and the consequences killed the child. Could God intervene in the consequences? Yes, but he decided not to. How many more people do you think would have been killing folks and taking their wives if God had put his approval on that? There is a curse that was released and is still in effect. Most people, that curse that's talked about in Malachi, they see it, right? But they can't tell you where it is. So they just brush it off. Oh, he said a curse. And I'm going to show it to you. But Satan don't like this. I'm telling you now. Because when you understand this, it's another way of telling him, see ya. In Zechariah, the fifth chapter, Zechariah was having a series of visions and encounters. And to me, this is, when the Lord showed me this, there were several places that I was able to address Satan and get him out of my household, out of my family, and out of the ministry. Then I turned and raised my eyes and saw there a flying squirrel. Now, if any of you can do your research and tell me if this scroll went away or it don't exist today. Now, I know people say Christ nailed every curse to the tree. He did. He gave you the power to break it. But you still got to break it. You can have a driver's license and not have a car. You did what you needed to do to get your driver's license. Now if you want to drive your own car, what do you need to do? Do what you need to do to get a down payment. and get insurance. I know people who drive license in their cars and no insurance, they can't drive. And if they do, they get caught every time. Listen to this. And he said to me, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, "This is the curse. Primarily tithing, but everything else that you present to God, that's a lying, thieving offering. If you're telling people, 'I'm serving God,' and you're not," well, let me just read. "This is the curse that goes up over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled." Then what does it say in Malachi 3? When you take tithes, you rob God. What does that make you? Oh, okay. According to this side, in other words, one side of the book is full of thieves. And it says on the other side of the scroll, every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it. So every liar and every thief is going to have a curse, especially when you lie and perjure yourself about tithing, misrepresenting yourself. If you don't believe that, read Acts 5. Who do we know about in Acts 5? Two people dropped dead because they lied about their tithing and offerings. Ananias and Sapphira. Just in case you think this is a... And God wanted to make that clear early in the church. Don't lie to me about what you say you get. It was yours. You could have gave what you wanted to and told the truth about it. But you're going to step up here with everybody else. And we've given all. We've sold all. And we've done all. And he dropped in. And she came. "Yes, we did. We did it all. We gave it all." And they said, people who carried out your husband's body, they'll carry you out also. Listen to this. "And I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. It shall enter the house of the thief and the house one who swears falsely by my name." Notice, by my name. "In the name of Jesus, I'm paying my tithes." Listen to this. "It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with his timber and stone." It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. You can't pray it out. You can't preach it out. You can't deaconize it out. You can't elderize it, apostolize it, prophesize it, evangelize it, pastorize it, or ministerize it. You can't bishop it, nor can you elderize it or missionary it. It's going to sit there and consume everything you do. And the more you lie in the name of God, saying, "I'm doing what God told me to do," especially when it comes to robbing him, that curse has nested and is consuming your timber. It's tearing your house apart. It's manifesting in the natural. Your kids are going crazy, and it's basic. It's a basic fear of God and just yielding to his instructions. See, I obey God before I fear him, because I came to the conclusion that that he knew more than I did. And my decisions hadn't worked for me. Amen? My decisions had not worked for me. So my whole point of this evening is we talk about spiritual warfare and we talk about a lot of things. Amen? I get to share a lot of things here. But when God says, I want you to talk about tithing, I'm going, man, hey, tithing is so basic. Who wants to hear about that? He said, not the way you think. He says, you need to point out what you understood a while back. There is an active curse. It has not been withdrawn. It has to be broken. It has to be broken. And when you take your tithe money and what you have set aside in your heart for offerings and you sacrifice it to Satan, I'm not saying paying your rent is sacrificing your tithe to Satan. I'm not saying that. I'm saying talk to your pastor. Amen? But if you go into the bar and you're buying cigarettes with what you call extra money, and you're not tithing, then you're sacrificing what belongs to God, you're giving it to Satan. Therefore, you're worshiping Satan and not God. Doesn't matter what you call yourself. And I'm going to encourage all of you this evening, go back and look at what you're doing. I've learned to cut down on movies. I love movies. I love a good shoot 'em up, bang, bang. What's his name? John Wick? What was his name? Huh? Not John Wayne. There's a new movie out. John somebody. I love shoot 'em up, bang, bang. But I had to cut my cost. You know what I asked myself? I said, man, I'm spending $100 a month going to two movies. $20 to get in and $60 for popcorn and pop. And I come out with a bunch of stuff I got to pray off of me. Having dreams about gunfights. And God said to me one time, I'm going, Lord, get this out of my mind. Get these violent tendencies. I don't know why. God said, you need to stop spending that money. Going, he said, I'm not saying you can't go. But if you go into the point where you're spending money and prayer time on trying to deal with it and stomach ache time after you done ate that popcorn, then you just made a sacrifice to Satan. And I went, no, I'm not. And God said, 21. So my point is this. Don't look for the big devil worshiping signs and the big, you know, silhouettes flinging from your ceiling with gargoyles on them. Come on, I got. Look for that little stuff. Because you go, well, ain't no gargoyles in my house, and ain't no witches sitting in my bathroom, and no. Look at that little extra stuff that you do, and if it's a doubt, don't do it. Amen.
Amen.
You say, well, $3 don't matter to God. Well, save it till you get three more. And then three more. $9. Put a dollar with it, you got 10. My point is this. We are moving into a critical era. And God is examining each and every one of us. And where you really are up here and hear is going to determine where this is going to end up. Your head spiritually and your heart spiritually is going to determine the destination, location, and geography of your gluteus maximus. So just take inventory. Don't start thinking, why do they need more money for this? I didn't see what they did with the other money. Shoot, my dog needs a new flea collar. He does more for me than that church. At least he'll bark when somebody shows up. Well, you need to know that the angels bark too when Satan shows up. Amen? You know them little feelings you get about, don't go that way, but go this way? Then you find out later on that a truck blew up and you didn't know it, but you was on the same freeway, but you got off? Serving God has its invisible and visible rewards.
Amen.
Tithing and offering has its visible and invisible rewards.
Amen.
But it also has visible and invisible curses. Read Malachi 3. Read Zechariah 5. Read Revelation 22. Read Ephesians 3:20. Read about the five wise, five foolish virgins, and see what conclusion you come up with. Now, I saw your hand earlier. I didn't mean to ignore you. You done that? Right. And you call that coincidence, but I don't think so. I think as we align ourselves with God, you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. Because he can handle your business better than you can.
Amen.
And his business better than you can.
Amen.
He just left us partnership. Amen? It just pays. Well, there's a biblical directive to how to get caught with your tithe. Did you know that? It's an actual instruction that if you miss your tithe, there's a percentage you need to pay when you make it up. Research it. God even gives allowances for circumstances. Like you just said. He tells you how you can do it. Amen? God doesn't want to see you fail. That's the key. He's not trying to trap us or trick us. When we don't, it's because we choose not to, because of some attitude or behavior or ideology we picked up. Amen? Please rise. Was that beneficial for you? Can you do something with that? Amen. Just raise your hands to the Lord. Can I have the pastors come? And I want you to realize, those of you who don't have an income, tithe with your lives. Pray about your pastor. Amen? Look at what he does and say, you know what? He's in ministry 40, 50 hours a week. I'm going to pick some time to pray and commit that time to pray. Amen? Just repeat after me. Our great Father,
our
Lord and Savior,
Yeshua
Messiah,
Jesus Christ,
and the powerful Holy Spirit,
the
Acts 1:8 infusion. We thank you for helping us to realize, reaffirm,
recommit,
and Father, dedicate ourselves to your will and your purpose. Bless the universe.
Bless this world.
Bless this nation. Bless this state.
Bless this city.
Bless this church.
Bless our homes.
And bless our communities.
And
Father, let the demonstration of our commitment to you and the removal of curses manifest itself in every area. Because the world groans and travails, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God.
Grant us
the power of manifestation through obedience, submission, commitment,
dedication,
and repentance.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And
the people of God shouted for victory.
Yes!